This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So this morning, I've got a question for you. When was the last time that you were lost? Like really, really lost? Maybe you felt a bit of a panic, not knowing where you were, not knowing the directions of where you were getting to. Maybe you're travelling somewhere and your mobile phone ran out of charge, or there were no satellites, you were in the back of beyond. You went out for a walk somewhere new and you ended up miles away from where you thought you were, maybe with no food either. Did you panic? How did you respond? Or maybe you weren't physically lost, but you were kind of lost in your life. You didn't know where you were headed, what you were doing next. Or perhaps you've hit a bit of a wall in terms of your journey with Jesus and knowing Jesus, and you're not sure where your next step is or even which direction you're going in. Maybe you've even found yourself praying, please, can I have a sign to show me the way? I can still remember vividly when Matt, my husband, and I were travelling and we ended up feeling lost. We were in Swaziland, as it was at the time, Eswatini, now, and we'd taken a bus to a local game park for a day out, and we were trying to get back to a hostel that we knew the name of, knew roughly where it was, where we were staying for the night, but what we didn't know was that it was a public holiday. And so all the minivans that were the local transport were heading in the opposite direction from where we were trying to go. We didn't really know where we were. We vaguely knew where we were trying to get to. And all the signs on the fronts of these taxis showed us that they were heading away from our destination. We were lost. It was getting dark. We stood out as tourists. And it wasn't really clear what we should do next. I remember feeling rather vulnerable in that moment. And then a taxi driver beckoned us over. And we decided it would probably do well to go and see what was happening. He asked where we were going and told us to get in. And on trust, we got into that taxi as he flipped the sign round and this minibus was suddenly swamped with people. Relief swept over us when it turned out we were going to where we were trying to get to. And we realised how much we'd been reliant on the kindness and the compassion showed to us by one person in a vulnerable moment. That's my memory. Matt might have a different version of the story. but I was very grateful for a sign of where to go. And that flipping of the sign over in the front of the minibus was just that, okay, it's going to be all right. So this year we're in the middle of a series looking at the Gospel of John and this theme of abundant life. And today we find ourselves in John chapter 14. Now I am going to be encouraging you to think a little bit. So if you like to think on paper, Hannah's got some paper and pens. Just give her a wave as you come around in case you want to jot anything down. If you like to think, you can get out a device, get out a phone, whatever. Or if you just want to listen, that's absolutely fine. We'll be dipping in and out of John 14. So if you do have a Bible, I'd encourage you to find it if you'd like to. If you have one that looks like this, we're on page 813 today. If you can't find it, there's a sneaky contents in the front, or ask someone near you to help you if they look like they know what they're doing. But before we go any further, let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that we can meet together and learn more about who you are and what that means for our lives. Thank you for your tangible presence, that stillness in the worship that Joss wanted to whisper through. And for everyone listening this morning, whether here in Headingley or online or at some point later this week, would you reveal more of yourself to us, whether we know you well or whether we're just casual acquaintances of Jesus? Would you come and guide my words this morning that it might be helpful for all those who are listening? Amen. So if you joined us last week, you'll have heard me talking about this tension building around Jesus. It's been building since chapter 10 in this. And as we get to chapters 13 and 14, it's almost tangible. Jesus continues to perform miracles, but people still don't recognize who he is. He shares Passover with his disciples. He washes their feet. They share a Last Supper together. Jesus breaks the news that one of his disciples will betray him and that another will deny him. And then we pick up here in chapter 14. The little header in the Bibles says, Jesus, the way to the Father. So Jesus has just shared with his disciples that he wasn't going to be with them for very much longer. This rabbi that they had followed, that they'd given up their homes and their livelihoods to be with, is about to leave. I can imagine that they would be confused and frustrated, maybe angry with Jesus. Where was he going to go? Why was he leaving? I can't imagine that it would have made much sense to them in the moment. And Jesus starts in verse 1 of chapter 14, saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He tells them not to worry. And then he goes on to say that, you know the place I'm going to. And then we know Thomas's response in verse 5. Thomas often puts to words what I think most of them were probably thinking when he says this, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" It kind of reminds me a bit of the cry of children in a car. Are we there yet? Where are we even going? Why are we doing this? It's kind of an indignant response. Thomas doesn't know where they're going, where Jesus is going, let alone how to get there. Jesus is talking in these riddles again about saying, "It's fine, you know where I'm going." And they're like, "But we don't. It's like a big mystery that you've not told us yet. The pieces aren't fully formed in the jigsaw for them." These days, we place so much value on careful communication. You know, we don't just say there's a picnic. We say there's a picnic and it's in this park and this is what it's for. And there's information on the website and we stress the details. And Jesus just goes, "You know where I'm going," and leaves it there. So before we get any further into these verses, I'd like you just to have a little think. What is your destination in life? Where are you heading? What are you directing your life towards? What might your end goal be? Is it God? Is it getting towards God and towards heaven? Or is it something else? Are you not sure yet? Are you indifferent? Have a little think. Where is your destination? Where are you heading to? Jesus replies to Thomas with this in John 14, verse 6, which is our verse for today. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus gives a little bit more of the answer here. He is the way. He, Jesus, and God the Father are the destination which I think many of us are trying to get to. And Jesus himself gives the directions for how we get to him. In the Christian faith, contrary to popular belief perhaps, there's no formal rule book. There's not a set of things you have to do. It's all about relationship. It's about our relationship with Jesus. Trying to be more like him. To do the things that we read about that Jesus did. Jesus' life itself shows us the way that we can follow. And I'll explain a bit more about what I mean by that as I break this down a little bit further. Jesus says, "I am the way." He says, "I am the truth." He says, "I am the life." And then he says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And for each of these four things, we're going to just have a little think about what they mean for us today. So, "I am the way." Now, the earliest Christians referred to themselves as followers of the way. Followers who believed in Jesus and believed that his teachings were the directions for their lives. And to follow directions requires moving, not just standing still. Following is a verb. There's momentum, there's direction, there's movement. This isn't just a decision you make. It's a way of life. It's doing something, being. So my question for you today is which or whose directions are you following? Or another way of putting that is, which way are you going to use to get to your destination? Jesus invites us to be followers of his way. And I think that's his invitation for each and every one of you this morning. He invites us to follow his directions for our lives and to set our destination towards him, towards God the Father. Now, it's really hard to get to know God by following the ways of the world, by pursuing things that have no value in the kingdom of God. It'd be a bit like asking a fish to give you directions to somewhere on land. They just have no reference, no experience of what that might be like. So I think that to get to God, we need to ask directions from those who know God. God sent us his son Jesus to come to us, to give us these directions, to give us a reference point. And the Bible records sign after sign, story after story of God through Jesus showing us a way. We can pray, we can talk to and listen to God. We've got the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us on our way. And I really like some of John Mark Comer's teaching on this. He's done a lot in a vision series back in 2019 in just understanding how we become followers of the way. And he said this: the task for the Christian is to be with Jesus, to learn from Jesus how to be like Jesus. To be with Jesus so that we can learn from Jesus how to be like Jesus. And as our lives begin to look more and more like the life of Jesus, we can be confident that we're on the way, walking with Jesus on the path towards heaven. So my question for you this morning about the way is, how might you follow the way of Jesus in your life today? I'll give you a moment. So Jesus also says he is the truth. Now, it is much easier to trust someone who is truthful, who sticks to their words, who is generally trustworthy. And I think we only really know if someone is truthful when we know them, or someone that we know and we trust vouches for them that they can be trusted, that they are truthful. And it is much easier to trust someone when we believe deep down that they are good and that they have our best interests at heart. So let's just think, what do you notice about your reacting to Jesus saying that he is truth? And what does your reaction tell you about who you perceive him to be? And if you know Jesus, do you truly trust him to give you direction for your life, even if what he's saying doesn't make complete sense to you yet? So number three, Jesus says that he is the life. Now, last week I spoke a lot more about this abundant life coming from following Jesus. Life flows out of Jesus. Freedom from sin flows from Jesus. Oppression is lifted, and in its place there is abundance, there is joy, there is purpose, and there is meaning. Jesus died on a cross and came back to life so that we might have eternal life. He took all of the punishment, all of the consequences, all of the things that might keep us from being in relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God the Father. Jesus gives us an abundant life here on earth and also an eternal life of knowing him. So again, let's have a think. Where might you need this abundance that Jesus brings in your life? And which areas of your life would you like to invite Jesus into? Would you like to invite Jesus to reveal more of his abundance to you? So Jesus' fourth statement, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now this is a bold one. It's a simple statement, but it has caused a lot of controversy. And that's not my aim this morning. I'm not looking to stir up any angst or grief for anyone, but instead I just want us to think about what Jesus is actually saying for ourselves, to take the time to understand the statement. Now, when Jesus says this, Philip answers with a question that reveals quite a lot, really, about his understanding of who Jesus is. Philip goes on to ask in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And this question just reveals the lack of understanding that Philip has, despite having spent so much time with Jesus. One-on-one, first-hand. And in Jesus' response, you can hear a tinge of sadness or frustration or compassion for Philip. When Jesus responds, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And I want to ask you, when you hear Jesus say, no one comes to the Father except through me, what would you ask Jesus if you were Philip in his place? What would have your response have been to Jesus? Perhaps you might be fuming. How dare Jesus say that? How dare I even talk about that this morning? Maybe you think I have a narrow-minded view for thinking that that is a statement of truth. And if that's you, that's fine. But I'd love to chat with you. I'd love to explore and hear your perspective. And if you don't want to chat to me, that's absolutely fine. But find someone who does, because these questions, when we have a strong response, it tells us something. It gives us the opportunity to engage and just explore them out loud. And I'd encourage you to do that. Some of you may have heard of or done the Alpha Course. And one of my most memorable parts of the course is a quote from C.S. Lewis. And he said this, and this is what came to me when I was reading these verses, this reminder of this quote. I'm only going to read part of it because it's quite long, but either this man, Jesus, was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. I can still remember where I was the first time I heard this. I must have been about 16. I was sat next to a friend of mine at an Alpha course. And I can remember thinking how strong C.S. Lewis's words were and how it was okay to debate and wrestle with them. And I found that a real encouragement, that we can question God, that we can question the words in the Bible and we can seek to understand them for ourselves. I don't think Jesus is scared of our questioning or our confusion. So I'd encourage you to wrestle with these words for yourselves and see what you make of them at the end of it. Now, for some of you, maybe hearing these words of Jesus, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," is a relief. It's like a sign has just lit up saying, "This is the way. Follow this, do this, and you'll have a sense of purpose and a sense of direction." Jesus gives us a destination of knowing God and the directions of how to get there. He's given us Jesus and he says, "Follow him. Follow these ways and you can get to know me." Or perhaps for you, you have known that and you've known that a while ago, but this hearing these words again is a bit like rediscovering a box covered in dust up in an attic or in a cellar or the back of a cupboard tucked away somewhere. And you've known it's there, but you've kind of forgotten it has no active part in your life. And perhaps this morning is a reminder to just dust it off and remember these statements of Jesus. So the last bit of thinking I'm going to make you do right now. What do you notice about your reaction to Jesus saying that no one comes to the Father except through him? And if that offends you, why do you think that might be? So we're just going to read this through again, just as we wrap up. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, I think that Jesus is speaking very specifically here to those of us who are listening, to those of us who want to seek understanding from him, who are exploring the answers to the question. That could be those of us who already know him, perhaps who've known him a long time, and those of us who don't really know him yet at all. And this morning, there's a chance to respond, whether it's for the first time or the 100th time. And maybe you've realised this morning, as I've been talking, perhaps for the very first time, that you would like to head towards God. You'd like to set that destination for your life as knowing God. And that you'd like to start following the way of Jesus. And if that's you, then we would absolutely love to pray for you. As you start out on what I can guarantee will be an adventure. Or perhaps you've realised that you're headed towards God and you know that that's where you want to be going. But other areas of your life are just taking over. Other things hold more sway for you than Jesus' directions for your life. Perhaps you're more bothered about what your friends and neighbours would say than what Jesus is asking you to do. And I think all of us have this to an extent in different parts of our lives. But perhaps for some of you, today is just perhaps something has come to mind. Maybe you've even written it down. It's just an area of your life where you'd like to just say, "Actually, Jesus, come and have your way. Help me to follow you in this area of my life again." If that's you again, we'd love to pray for you. And as I was just preparing for this morning, I felt that for some of you, life is really tricky at the moment. And you know Jesus, but you still feel lost. And if that's you, again, we would love to pray for you this morning. So I'd like to invite you to stand. And we'll pray. Jason and Gwen, would you like to join me? So Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the way and the truth and the life. And that we can come to the Father through you. Thank you for the things you've been reminding people of this morning. I had a picture. If anyone has ever been sailing on a boat, it's like the direction is calibrated and you sometimes realise you've just drifted slightly off course and you just need to... I've sensed there were some people who realised they've kind of taken their eyes off Jesus a minute and they'd actually like this morning just to kind of set that direction again, ready for the weeks and months ahead. Just see if there's any other words, and then we'll, in a minute, we'll say bye to our friends on the live stream. But let's just see if there's anything else to share in case there's words for them as well.
I was just reminded during the worship of the scripture about the joy of the Lord we'll find our strength, and Anne mentioned earlier about people that may be struggling. And I just think that sometimes we know we need to rejoice, sometimes we know we need to praise, and we know that's where we'll find our strength, but it's difficult. And another scripture that came to me was of when Moses' arms were supported by Aaron and Hur, I think. And it was in a battle situation. And I think the two things in my mind just link together, just about getting people around you. You might know that your destination is Jesus. You might know that that's where you find your strength, but maybe we need a little bit of support. So again, just if you're struggling maybe with health or finances or whatever, we'd love to pray with you this morning about that, but just to get that ongoing support around you. And then this is really random, but I had a picture this morning of a green door. Don't all break out into shaking Stephen's songs, but it was a green door, and it's like a forest green glossy paint, and then the picture sort of panned back, more of a wide angle lens, and there was like this creeper growing over. I think it was like a honeysuckle or something. And I'm just putting that out there in case anybody kind of recognizes that door with a little traditional letterbox and knocker. And I think if that resonates with you, I think God's maybe just trying to get your attention again. Let's pray. But if not, that's totally fine.
So sort of similar to that theme Jesus coming to give us life to the full, and I was reminded particularly during the worship and the Matt Redman song, I kind of got this impression that there may be people who've come today or switched online today just almost as an act of will, didn't really want to come, didn't really feel up to it because life's not being that great or whatever, but God wants to give you this life. So if you feel that that's been a bit of a, that's you, you've just sort of dragged yourself along, part of it is that it's, you know, even when things are bad, it's still giving God the praise, giving God the glory. So I just encourage you to come forward and we can pray for you.
Great. And there was another one, just a sense that there might be someone who's broken their right arm. We think it was a woman. Again, if there's any women here or watching with a broken right arm, we would love to pray for you. And all we've been doing here is just gathering things. God loves to get our attention through different ways. So this is just gathering information to get people's attention. But we're going to turn to prayer now in the building. And I would say if you're watching online and any of those words resonate with you, please do get in touch with us. You can contact us at hello@leedsvineyard.org. We'd love to hear what God has been doing. You can pray where you are. You can invite friends who know Jesus to pray for you, and we would love to hear the stories of what God is doing in your midst. But for now, we'll say goodbye to the live stream, and then we'll carry on in the building.